I often mention before we get to the word and the message that you can be happier. We're going to talk more about that today. But one way is to be happier is to live what you believe, and it's also less stressful. However, in order to do that, you will need to know what it is that you believe. We have an affirmation of faith each time we get together. This one is from the book of Acts in the second chapter. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. He was put to death by nailing him to the cross, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. God's word for today is from Matthew's Gospel, the 7th chapter, verses 24 through 29. It is a part of what is known as the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' teaching to the crowd. So Jesus speaks and says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I have been thinking that I would get back to the topic of prayer, which was our topic prior to Easter and on Easter, but I couldn't find my notes until yesterday. And that can only mean one thing, or I interpret it to mean one thing. Don't preach on that sermon, which notes you could not find. So I saw two articles recently, and I wanted to share both of them. Some of you saw this article from the Gallup poll showing the number of Americans who belong to a church or a house of worship has plummeted. Didn't use the word declined. The word they used was plummeted, saying most Americans still say that they believe in God, but their involvement in organized religion continues to decrease. Now, clearly, we are not talking about anyone who is here today or last Sunday. We are talking about people who might have been here a couple of months ago, haven't seen them since. I'm talking about some people who used to worship here. They're not worshiping anywhere else, but they're not here. We're talking about people like ones I know who claim a living relationship with Jesus, and I've never heard them talk about church except for a brief period of time when they had a daughter who was active in a youth group, became a nursery attendant, but has since moved on. So again, now, no one in the family attends worship or any other religious activity, formal or informal. And you realize that worship attendance is sort of the minimum activity in organized religion. How you live your life once worship is over is of major importance, whether those are church activities or something else, family care, volunteering, other nonprofit organizations. The list is quite large, actually. There are many ways to live for Jesus, and those change over time. I could be blunt and ask, Jesus didn't skip church, so why do we think it's a good idea? I know he didn't attend church, he attended synagogue, but he didn't skip. He went. The Apostle Paul continued to go to synagogue and also organized his own churches, and they continued to meet after he left them. He organized his own congregational gatherings. Paul's letters talk about the church getting together for worship. And I know that membership in any organization, whether it's the Elks or Lions Club or the Christian Church, membership in anything in America is decreasing. But we have statistics on churches in America. A new Gallup report found that only half of Americans say they belong to a church or other religious body. That's down from 69% two decades later. It was 69% in 1999. Now it's 50%. And 1999 is certainly when Daleville Christian Church had some of its highest attendance numbers in worship. Now, I've mentioned Christians, or at least Christians in name, nominal Christians. The news article tied the decrease in religion in America to those who claim no religious affiliation at all. 90% of Americans used to claim a religious affiliation. Now it's 77% in recent decades. That's 77% total religious affiliation, whether you claim Christian, or you claim Jew, or you claim Muslim, or you claim Buddhist, or you claim Hindu, or something else. So almost one person in three you see walking around claims no religious affiliation whatsoever. None. I don't know if you're surprised by that statistic. So, are we clear? There used to be lots more people sitting here on Sunday morning, and now, any Sunday morning, we could give them a phone call and find them at home. Are you clear on that? Then I saw another news item. The poll also reported that 45% of Americans said they felt worried a lot, and more than one in five, 22% of Americans said they felt angry a lot. And according to Gallup, the economy is not the problem, as the survey found the levels of negative emotions are even higher than during the Great Recession. Levels of negative emotions in America are higher now than during the Great Recession. And now the economy's pumping. Now here's a surprise. This is a surprise to me. Every nation in Africa is happier than us. Everyone except Tanzania, a nation of 61 million people, and they felt 2 percentage points worse than us. We feel better off than Tanzania, but only by 2 percentage points. Every other nation in Africa has us beaten. Okay, so I read the article about fewer Americans going to church. I read that the week before Easter. The week after Easter, I read that Americans are not happy. I'm a pastor. Am I the only person who can put two and two together here? Americans apparently may be glad they don't have to go to church, but they're not happy about it. Friends, to me, 2 plus 2 still equals 4. Americans as a whole take little interest in the things of God, and Americans are more angry and frustrated than ever. Even more angry and frustrated than when the economy went sour back in 2008. Now, I've told people and families who said they were too busy for worship. I said, if you come to worship, you will find yourself blessed with more organization and time. I can't recall anyone taking me up on that offer. If you Google a simple question like, how can I be happy, or how can I be happier, on more than one web page, you will find words like prayer, forgiveness, thanksgiving, counting blessings, faith, God. And these web pages are not religious web pages. We're talking Psychology Today publications, humanist blogs, therapists who are not particularly Christian therapists. I read this. American guys, especially, get the formula for happiness wrong. We think, if I can work harder right now, I'll be more successful, and then I'm going to be happier, says Sean Acor, author of the book, The Happiness Advantage. And it turns out that that's not true, partly because every time we hit a goal, we change what success looks like. So happiness is on the other side of a moving target. What did our Jesus say? For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of me will find it. I could be blunt and ask that kind of silly question the way I ask it. Jesus didn't skip church. So why do we think it's a good idea? If anyone believes that Jesus was a great teacher, why don't they read what he said? Or go to a group that is dedicated to what Jesus taught, like in a church? However, Jesus was not just a great teacher. Jesus was a leader. His words to the disciples, "Follow me." Follow me. Imitate me. The Apostle Paul said the very same thing. We sing Jesus' words from Matthew's gospel, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Jesus said, "Ask, seek, knock," which is verse 7 in this very same Matthew chapter 7. Ask, seek, knock. In the same Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." And Jesus added, "They will be filled." Our Bible verse for today is Matthew 7:26. "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand." Jesus stresses the hearing and doing of my words. This would mean in this setting, Jesus' words that Jesus is referring to are the whole and entire Sermon on the Mount, not just this section. Matthew's gospel book often focuses on Jesus as a teacher. Matthew uses the word teacher 32 times. And since Matthew was writing a part of the Bible, there were no Bibles to put in front of Jesus' followers, nothing of the New Testament anyway, so studying Jesus' words is not what Jesus emphasized as an activity. Rather, Jesus emphasized doing the will of God. Doing what Jesus' words say to do. Certainly, hearing Jesus' words is of value, and doing God's will is of even greater glory to God. But how can one do what one has not heard? Our Bible verse for the day, Matthew 7:26, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand." I don't know whether any of you here have ever had foundation problems in your house. We didn't build on sand here at Daleville Christian Church, but we caused enough commotion with a building project 25 years ago that the walls shifted inside and out. This sanctuary building was condemned for about a week. We had to meet in the education building, but it gave me the title of my book, if I ever write one, entitled, "I Was Pastor of a Condemned Church." Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish person who built his house on sand. And if anyone has not heard Jesus' words, they might continue to try and save their own lives. And Jesus said, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life because of me will find it. Seek first the kingdom of God, our Lord said. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for the things of God. Those people will be filled. There are a lot of unhappy Americans out there, worried, anxious. They might even have good jobs and a loving family. But only the people of three other countries feel worse off than Americans. I must tell you that I was a little amused at this news item. A number of people have confessed to me that they were afraid to give their life to Jesus for fear that God might send them as a missionary to Africa. Well, come to find out, your chances of being happy in Africa are much, much higher than they are in the United States. And from everything else I read and believe, a life in Jesus Christ is the only chance at true happiness in this life that will last forever. As we taught at Vacation Bible School years ago, and I kept the poster in my office for years, it might still be there. Doing what God wants you to do will always be the best for you. Doing what God wants you to do will always be the best for you. Amen.